lot of people have been sick, and but we just thank you for the numbers with us tonight. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we'll be dealing, as I was last Sunday morning, about seven parables. The seven parables in chapter 13, these seven parables really are the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. You really need to read this whole chapter because all of these parables fits into one great parable. That is the kingdom of heaven. And for us to look around and just to see what's really happening today. Remember what a parable is. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It says they are seven mystery parables here. Now, what is a mystery? A mystery is knowledge that you cannot know apart from the divine revelation of God, no matter how intelligent that you might be. You'll never understand it without the revelation of God. Seven means complete. So Jesus Christ is completing his message about the mystery of the kingdom of heaven with these seven different parables. It will help us to know what's really going on and what we really need today in our world. As we look around in this world today, we wonder sometimes, as I preached last Sunday morning, has the gospel failed? What's wrong with our country? What's wrong with people today? We've done everything that we know to do. I mean, we do the very best we can, and we look around and we see so many empty pews across America today. We see so many empty churches today, and we're just wondering, what's wrong? Has the gospel failed? Well, you know, I preached last Sunday morning about the four different type of souls that Jesus Christ is speaking. He's speaking in this chapter 13 and let you know there's nothing wrong with the gospel. The gospel cannot fail and will not fail, but the problem is with the hearts of the people. And we see the time is approaching, and I believe and understand that Jesus Christ said the last days that we're living in this day, the last hour, the last minute, that people, you know, will grow cold, they grow indifferent. It is hard to get people to just to do what normally they ought to do, and yet we find out we're getting closer all the time. But the gospel have not failed. Remember those four different type of hearts and the hearts of the people? The same message went out, the same word went out, and the word from Jesus Christ, the lips of our Savior, but there was only one heart that was open to receive the regeneration that might be saved. The rest of the three hearts, they fell on stony ground and hard ground and different ground that was not prepared, and they heard the word of God, and some even come to church, and they was baptized, and they come down the aisle, and they come for a little while, and they couldn't wait to get back on Sunday night, and they couldn't wait to get back to the choir, and they come for a while, and then they faded away because the word of God got down, but it couldn't get in. So we have a lot of people today of these four hearts that I spoke about last Sunday morning as Jesus Christ preaching. They didn't even hear his word, but they heard it with their ears, but they had no understanding. But Jesus Christ says, we're not stopping there. I want to go on through and tell you the other of these parables, the reason why it looks like today that we're falling apart and we're getting further away, but Jesus Christ in no way that we might be able to fail. So he gives another parable here tonight about the wheats and the tares. Someone told me that there was someone in Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, I don't know if he's talking about me or not, said it was a hypocrite. There's a hypocrite. You believe that? Somebody would say that we have some hypocrites in this church. Well, I tell you, I've been preaching long enough, I know they're hypocrites in all churches. I can tell you that right now. But now, I don't believe that person they was talking about always gets back to the preacher. I hear everything. I want y'all to know that. They make sure it gets back to the preacher. And I tell you, I don't believe that person they was talking about. See, a hypocrite, to understand, that is a play actor. That's somebody that's not saved. That's a counterfeit Christian. But I know that a lot of people, lost people, looks at us tonight. They look at Christians, they look at Pleasant Hill, they look at others, and they might see some inconsistency in your life that's maybe you don't measure up just exactly like they want you to measure up. And they say, well, if that person is going to heaven, I'm going to heaven also, and I don't have to go to church. That person goes to church all the time. I don't have to go to church. If that person goes to church, I ain't got to worry about it. You see, they make the wrong comparison. They don't supposed to really be looking at us, and they do should be looking at us, but really they need to be looking at Jesus Christ because we know that none of us are perfect. Another thing about these counterfeit Christians, we don't know who they are. You know, we don't know who they are. There's only one person that I'm sure about right now that's saved in this building, and that's me. Now, that's me. Now, I think a lot of you saved. I hope a lot of you saved. I hope everybody's saved, or you can be. But I don't know so much about you, but I know a lot about me. And that's one we need to be worried about. You see, they make the wrong comparison. So Jesus Christ says, let me tell you about the parable of the wheat and the tares. So this is Jesus Christ speaking now about why we have counterfeit Christians and what to do about them. You see, we don't want to pull up the weeds because we would destroy the wheat also. And it's our job is not to weed them, to pull up the weeds and destroy the wheat. That's not our job. Now, he lets us know that. Let them all grow together. You know why? Because Jesus Christ, he's the one that does a separation. I said, I don't know your heart this night. I don't know. There may be someone in here as lost as they could be, as a Georgia mule. I don't know. But I don't know your heart. Jesus does. And I'm going to tell you, it's his business. And he's the one that knows where you lost or not. He's the one that knows where you're on your way to heaven or not. And he's the one, I'm going to tell you, is doing the judging, because he's the one that knows enough to do the judging. We don't judge because we don't know who's saved and who's not saved, because these tares are an illustration. I never saw a tare. I don't know what one looks like. But my reading and my study about tares, they look so much like wheat when they're growing. A mature farmer, a very experienced farmer, could not tell the difference of these growing with the wheat and the tares until they reached maturity, and then they could tell which one was which. So see, we don't really know, and it's not our really place to know. Yes, a lot of people says, I'm not going down there because there's so many hypocrites. Probably a lot of you have been just like me. I said, when I get ready to go to church, I'll be ready to live it. I won't live like some of them hypocrites down in church. Anybody ever said that? Just as lost as I could be. And there were some people I looked at, and I thought, sure enough, they weren't living like they ought to. I see people at work that I work with at the railroad, and they weren't living just like I thought they was, and they shouldn't do this. And I see them do things they shouldn't do. And I said, well, that person can't be a Christian. Because I thought that Christian was supposed to be perfect all the time. I really did. Did I hit anybody? But you see, I understood whenever I got saved that I wasn't perfect. And I understand the day that I'm not perfect, and I won't never be perfect until I'm with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not perfect. What an eye-opening experience it is to be saved. But people see us in different ways. Now, these counterfeit Christians. Let's read there in Matthew chapter 13. Verse 24 through 30, and then he tells about the farmer, and then he tells about the answer it from 37 to 42. So let's first read now about this parable. Another parable, he says there in verse 24, put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blades were sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said to him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then have it tares? He said unto them, an enemy have done this. The servant said unto him, will thou then let we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, no, least while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest we'll say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into the barn. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we want to thank you and praise our precious and holy name of Jesus this day. Father, we thank you for the word, Lord, that's true, God, that we have the understanding as we live and walk in this dark and weary world, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God that we have. Father, we just pray for everyone that's here this hour, for those that wanted to come and couldn't, for our senior citizen ones on our prayer list and our prayer box, oh God. Lord, we pray how people, Lord, to really understand how that they need to be in these last days that we're living in. They need to be closer to you, Father. We just pray for the coldness of the heart might be melted away by the Spirit and by the Word of God and by our prayers as we intercede for them. Father, we just want to thank you for the blessing this night, God, that we hear this hour to worship and serve you, for the songs have been sung to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, for us together in our prayer rooms, oh God, and lift up prayers to Almighty God on the behalf of someone that's sick. Lord, we thank you here this hour, God, that we can come together, Lord, and realize, God, that you're the great master of the universe. And Father, you're the great God of each and every one of us. And Lord, help us to understand, Father, the things that we need to understand here this night, that we might have a closer and a better fellowship and walk with you, dear God. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of life this day and right down to this good hour that you allow us to be taking part of your breath, O God, this day. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. Counterfeit Christians. Not everyone claiming to be a Christian is a Christian. Did y'all know that? Vance Habner said a lot of church members have been starched in iron, but they've never been washed. I really do believe that. They've been starched in iron, but they have never been washed. Now, there's some truth. Each time that you read the Word of God, there's some truth that you might be able to comfort you containing here these false Christians or these counterfeit Christians here this hour. And one of those things is God is still in control. Don't matter whether they're saved, don't matter if they're counterfeit or not, God's still in control. There's a word there of instructions about these counterfeit Christians. What shall we do about these counterfeit Christians? He tells us. Also, we find out this story. It says in the story, a good farmer sowed wheat. Went out there like a good farmer done, and he sowed wheat. Well, at nighttime, it says that there was an enemy that come and sowed this noxious weed. It's called a tare. Now, like I said, a spirit farmer could not even tell the difference until it was mature. Now, the servant said to the farmer after they had come up, should we go out there and start pulling up these weeds? And most of us know what we do, pull up weeds. A lot of times as you pull up weeds, you know that you pull up the real good stuff also. He says, no. He says, don't do that, because when you do, you might root up also some of the wheat. He says, let it grow together until harvest time, and then we'll bundle up the old tares, and we'll gather them up, and we'll burn them, but we'll bring the wheat in the barn. Now, he explains all the parable, what every one of these are. If you just read the Bible, it'll tell you exactly what he's talking about. Now, verse 37, he begins to answer him and tells him the answer of all this parable that he's talking about. He said there in verse 37 of this same chapter, he answered. He answered, because that was a question they asked. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is who? The Son of Man. Jesus Christ is the one that sowed it. The field is the world. Everywhere they go, you sow the seed all through the world this day. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That is the people that is saved. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. They're lost. They're the one that belongs to the devil. You know, there's two families in this world. There's a family of Satan, and there's a family of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, that defends a lot of people today, because they believe in eternal God, and God loves everybody, and God is love, and God is love, and God does love everybody. But God is not their Father. He is their Creator. They are two different families. You know, Jesus Christ said one time, you are of your father the devil. You are the children of the devil. Verse 39, the enemy has sowed them. It then is the devil. That's who the enemy is. It is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Wait, when it's all over, not when you die. That's not it. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the judgment time. He's talking about the end of everything, the end of this ages. And the one's going to come and do all this reaping, you'll find out in the book of Revelation, the angel sent forth to put in the sickle and to reap. They are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned into fire, so shall it be in the end of the world or end of the ages. The Son of Man shall send forth his angel, and they shall gather out of every kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. We know exactly now what all this means, because the Bible has told us everything that it's talking about him. The good seed is the children of God. And you know, the sower is Jesus Christ. The field is the world. The tares are children of the devil. The enemy is the devil himself. We know because what God has told us, we don't have to guess. Those tares are wheat. Angels are the reapers. The harvest is coming one of these days. Now, there's four truths that I'd like for you to understand about these false Christians or these counterfeit Christians. There's four truths. Is there the sowing of the tares in the wheat. And then we have the similarity there of the tares in the wheat. Go on down now. Now we see the sowing of the tares into wheat is the work of Satan himself. Satan is a great imitator. That's all he ever does. He don't have anything original. He is a great imitator because he likes to imitate everything that Jesus Christ does and by counterfeiting. So he sows these tares in God's field of the world today. God sows a good seed of the Word of God, but he comes around and he sows the bad seed, Satan himself. Now you see, Satan is not against religion. Y'all know that, don't you? He's up to his ears in religion. He loves religion. Religion of all kind. You see, they're going to be a 7-year tribulation time after the rapture. They're going to be a one world religion. And that one world religion is going to be run by Satan himself, the Antichrist. He loves religion. He has to have religion. There'll be a one world government. They're going to be a one world currency. And I'm telling you, that's not going to be very long. And remember, I'm putting this in on extra here tonight. Remember, that's going to be very, very soon. We're going after now a one world government. We're going very fast after a one world currency. And when we have this, just remember what the Bible says. When we see all these things happen, we know the rapture is not very far off. It's coming like Jesus Christ said it's going to come. But the religion that he's talking about, now the worst kind of deception, you know, is religious deception. He's going to really, really have this coming in. Now, the tares are counterfeit Christians, and they want to hurt the work of God. That's some Satan now, but they hurt the work of God. Now, Satan is very envious of God, as y'all know that. He is very envious of God. You know, he just hates God, but he can't hurt God. He can't get to God. There's no way. But you know what he does? The devil, you know, he'd rather start a church first than he had to sell 100 barrels of whiskey. He likes to start a church first. Because he can do more damage. I'm going to preach for long. I really believe on the four great lies, and this is one of them. But anyway, he likes a church first because the battle really, as we think about, we start battling one another, and the battle is not against one another. The battle is against the devil himself. So you can't get to God, but he gets to me and you. He lets his tares get to you and I this day. Sometimes that you see it on television, and you know where these drug dealers and these drug dealers, where they kill the whole family, you know, and not just kill the one that's selling the drug. And they have that's the reason so many people are dying down in Mexico and these other places, because you see the drug cartels are fighting each other. And you see your family's not safe. Why does it go your family not safe? Because they know if they can't get to that person they want to get to, they'll get to someone they love. Well, that's what Satan's doing. He wants to get to something that God loves, and you know God loves us. He sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary, you know, and give his blood, and God loves us. And Satan wants to get us because God loves us. And that's what he does. It says there in verse 20 and verse 25, but while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way, while men's are sleeping. 1 Corinthians 15 and 34 says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now, that means for us to wake up. I mean, Satan is sowing tares all over the world today. That's you and I, you're our job, really, to sow the Word of God. And we're behind on it because it says here in those verses of Scripture, while men slept, we're sleeping, and the enemy is coming all over the place. And then in Corinthians, I said, you know what? It says, some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak to your shame tonight. There may be some family members, there may be some loved ones, and we talk about the weather, we talk about sports, we talk about the economy, we talk about everything, but do you talk to them about salvation? You see, it's to the shame, it says to us, and your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, do we talk to them about salvation? Is it worthwhile to talk about? Well, men slept. Well, men would just sleep. Pleasant Hill, you know what? We need to do all that we can do, everything that we do to let people know about Jesus Christ. We just need to wake up and let Jesus Christ draw all men to him. But then, you see, they look so much like. These tares look so much like the wheat. I mean, they so very much alike. You know what? Counterfeit Christians, they look just like the real Christians. I can't tell them apart. Nobody wears a mark on the back that we can tell them apart. I imagine someone said, I don't believe that man saved that preached behind that bull, but I guarantee you somebody said they don't believe I'm saved. Probably somebody said they don't believe you saved either. And from time of your life, I guarantee you somebody said they don't believe you're saved. You see, they don't know who's saved, and I don't know who's saved. There's a lot of people I don't think saved, but I don't know who's saved, who's not saved. And I'm glad I'm not, because it's not my job to know who's saved, who's not saved. God did not tell us to do that. But if we think about it, it looks so much alike. Well, in 2 Corinthians 11:4, it says, "For if he that come preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit while ye have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." You see, there's another Jesus, there's another gospel. Be very careful now because of this, because it said there's another Jesus. You know, sometimes, not in our area quite so bad, but if you live closer to town, sometimes they come out in the country and they'll knock on your door. You see two people are coming up and they'll knock on your door. In town, they ride bicycles all over town. But they'll knock on your door, and some of them, they'll come out here in carloads of them, and they'll knock on the door, and they want to tell you about Jesus Christ. And they, most of the time, they'll have a King James Version Bible. And, you know, they begin to tell you now that they believe in Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. And they begin to tell you what they want you to hear. But I want you to understand they're called Mormons, and they're called Jehovah's Witnesses, and they do not believe in your Jesus Christ. They don't believe in my Jesus Christ. They got their own Jesus Christ, and he's not the Son of God, I can tell you right now. So don't even let them in. Don't even bid them Godspeed, because they're not there for you to be saved. I'm okay, because they don't know what salvation is. But these people have another Jesus. They have another spirit. I'm going to tell you, they come. They counterfeit spirits today. There's a lot of people say, I've heard people tell me over and over, man, a lady told me not long ago, I know that I'm saved, but when I remember back, I had an experience in that church, and there was people being slanged in the floor, and the preacher couldn't preach, and they was running around the floor, and I come down to the altar, and I know I'm saved because I had this great experience. That's not no evidence at all that you're saved. And I'm going to tell you, that's no evidence at all that you're saved. And that same person, I can tell you right now, don't come to church, and ain't been to church in years, as far as I know. Now, let me ask you something. The experience that you had, did it cause you to want to be around God's people? Did it cause you to want to do the things that God has called you to do? Did it want to cause you, you know what, want to come to church and they want to cause you to give and be around God's people? Is that the spirit that you have? Now, there's a lot of people don't have this spirit because they don't cause them to want to do this. Well, I would say they got a false spirit. I don't know who they are, but that is a false spirit, because they're counterfeit Christ, they're counterfeit spirits, they're counterfeit ministry. 2 Corinthians 11:13-14 also says, "For as much as have false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is the transformer into an angel of light." Be very careful, because the devil, you know what? He has ministers in pulpits across America today. I mean, they're all over the television. I mean, they're all across America today. And there's another gospel. There's, you know what? There's another spirit. There's another ministry. And there are also false brothers across America today. Counterfeits all over. Galatians 1:6-8 tells us, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are angels from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Buddy, you better get it down right, and you get it down correctly, because it's the word of God, and no matter what they say knocking on your door, what you hear on television, buddy, it is another gospel. It is a counterfeit all the way down. The tares are lost. The tares are lost. Now, the counterfeit. Counterfeit $20 bill. Now, a counterfeit $20 bill, as you say, well, that person done this, that person done that, done them pretty good. Well, a counterfeit $20 bill will do some good some of the time. Now, I don't know if I ever had one in my hand or not. I'm probably sure that I have, and you probably have too, and you probably didn't even know it, because it's pretty much like the original. But a counterfeit $20 bill, until it's caught at the bank, it can buy bread, you know, it can buy gas, it can buy milk, it can buy for your kids. A counterfeit dollar bill can do a lot until it's carried to the bank. And then, you know, a banker, they know with that trained eye, then they know exactly then if that thing is counterfeit or not. Well, you know, the counterfeit Christians today that we're calling about counterfeit Christians, they can do a lot of good. I mean, they can give, and, you know, they can do a lot of things. But, you see, one of these days, they're going to be before that banker in heaven. And he knows who's counterfeit and who's not. Why do they counterfeit $20 bills? Because of the value of a $20 bill. They don't counterfeit gum wrappers. Why don't they counterfeit gum wrappers? There are no value in gum wrappers. So you see, the value that you and I are tonight shows a proof positive of the Word of God that we are valuable because they want to counterfeit Christians. And also tells us about the Word of God. You know, because the Word of God tells us they're going to be counterfeits. They are counterfeits today all over. We call them hypocrites, we call them counterfeit Christians, whatever it might be, but the Word of God confirms that they are. So really, counterfeit Christians, today confirms the Word of God. How do you do that? Well, because the Bible says in the last days men will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of demons. That tells you they're going to be counterfeit Christians in the last days. Authority of the Word of God will be, and they're here today, they have been, they will be, and they always will be. But how about the survivors here of these tares in these wheat as they're growing along? Well, Matthew chapter 13, 28 and 29 that I've already read, he said unto them, an enemy has done this, now the servant said unto him, well, you want me to go and just pull him up? He said, no, don't pull them up because, you know, let them grow together because you might tear up some of the wheat also. How do we deal then with the counterfeit Christians? Well, it's like I said, it's not our job. He's telling us here in these verses of Scripture, it's not our job to pull them up and kill them because we know what, we'll hurt some of the wheat. It's not our job. You know, because you and I really do not know who's saved. I'm assure you here tonight that there was somebody I know that knows me would doubt that I'm saved. I'm sure there's someone that knows me. It might be some of you sitting here in this building. I don't know. But I'm sure that somebody that knows you would doubt that you're saved or has had doubt in the past that you're saved because you think they're saved by the way we behave, and we're not saved by the way we behave. We're saved because of Christ Jesus. Boy, aren't you proud of that? That'll be a hallelujah right there. Now, because we don't know who's saved and who's lost. But you see, the separation of the tares from the wheat. In verse 41 and 42, it says, now the Son of Man shall send forth angels. They shall gather of the kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast into the flame of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Why did God let false Christians today mess up his church and mess up his people? Why did God tolerate the hypocrites in the church? Why don't they just zap them? You ever thought about, why don't I just get rid of them? You know why? Because God has a plan. God has a plan. Why? Because their harvest time, he's already set in motion. Their harvest time for these tares. There's harvest time for these counterfeit Christians. There's harvest time for these hypocrites. And there's harvest time for you and I today. There's going to be a harvest time. Revelation chapter 14, 14 and 15 says, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one that sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in that sickle and reap, he said, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripened. There will be a time when God will deal with the tares. There will be a time when God deals with us, waiting for the ripening of the crop, the good crop and the evil crop. You see, whenever you die, when you die today, and the ones that's already been dead since Jesus Christ left 2,000 years ago is in the grave, well, their day of rewarding time is not yet in. Their day receiving rewards is not yet. It's going to be after the rapture of the church. It's going to be when the dead in Christ rise first, and all them which remain be caught up together in the air. We're going by the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to the supper, and then there will be the reward. There will be the crown times after this. But you see, it's not time. God's not giving out crowns in heaven right now because the harvest time is not yet finished for the good and also for the bad. There will be reward times. So here's the way it goes and the reason it hadn't. You take a saved person that dies and cannot receive the reward because the ripening of the harvest has not yet ended, even after you die. Okay, well, here's a mother, many illustrations. I just say, well, here's a mother, and they have she has a child that grew up and cannot get that child of Jesus Christ. Rebellious child, and she prays, and she prays, and she prays, and all her life she works for that child and just still goes out into the world, and just a rebellious child against God, a rebellious child against the world, just rebellious all the time, lost as that person can be, and that mother dies. Well, after death of mother, you see, the old Spirit of God is still working. Her prayers, are still being answered, and that child is saved. Well, after that child is saved, and see people say such a life that man has lived, and then other people begin to be saved. 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 You see, the harvest time is not in yet when you die. I mean, the things that you're, that's the reason it's so important to serve Jesus Christ. Because see, when you die, it's not all over with. So your ministry's going to keep going on. Your ministry's going to keep going. That's the reason it's so important to serve Jesus every day. Because it's not over with. Can you think back some people that has already dead and gone on to have a lot of effect upon your life? The reason that you're here tonight, I can. The reason that you're here tonight and the reason you believe like you believe and, you worship like you worship, someone, maybe your mother, your father, your grandparents, your aunt, your uncle, some deacon, whatever, some preacher, whatever, has called you to have really the mind that you have and serve Jesus Christ like you're serving. Well, you see, all of it's not in yet. That's the good. It's not in yet. The Lord will repay. And that ministry of that person, your ministry is going to go on. I mean, it's going to go on, it's going to go on, it's going to go on, it says, until the harvest time. Now, the same thing is true now about the tares. Same thing is true about the harvest time. The harvest time is going to go on because the evil keeps abounding more and more all the time. Now, we have someone, a blind leader. We have this counterfeit Christian, have this blind leader. Now, it causes people now to work under this curse. Well, you just talk all type of evil. You take these persons as far abortion. I mean, you see these doctors up there, boy, they're for abortion. They're killing babies by the thousands. And you see, it's not in yet. You see, the harvest are not in yet. You take about these people that's on dope and people that sell dope. You see, no matter how many people they have hurt, and they hurt others, and they teach other people to go and sell dope. And they sell dope to others, and they teach other people to go sell dope. And it's the way, and they keep going, and it keeps going, and it keeps going. And something happens, and that person is killed. That person's dead. But you see, their drugs keeps going, and the way in the life that person lived keeps going, and the way in that person's life, it keeps going. And not only this generation, but it keeps going on down to the next generation. You take somebody that really believes in homosexual, there was born that way, they can't help it. That's a lie from hell itself. God said God didn't make nobody a homosexual. But you see, they teach that in the schools that we have today in our school system across America, they think that homosexual is all right, just another type of lifestyle. And they cause other people, and they hear this over and over and over and over. And you see that they believe that's all right, and they believe all right for homosexuals to go out and they can take children, adopt children, and raise children. And what that do? And they say, well, they can't help it, they was born that way, and they teach other children, and they teach others, and they teach others, and they teach others. You see, the harvest is not in yet. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. Some dear old parents, I can tell you right here at Pleasant Hill, they better be careful what they're teaching their kids, because there's a lot of parents are teaching their children that Jesus Christ in the house of God is not important. Everything else comes along. Let it be sports. Let it be anything else. You do that ahead of coming to the house of God, you're teaching your children something that's going to hurt them for the rest of their life and even their grandkids, and it's going to keep going on and going on and going on. We need to be careful how we teach our children. Do y'all know that? I'm going to tell you, we need to be very, very careful, because there will be a harvest day. There's a harvest day coming. Well, do you believe the world's getting better, or do you believe the world's getting worse? Yes, yes. I believe it's getting better because of God's saints, it's getting better. But also, I believe it's getting worse because of the tares that's in the world today. The worst unspeakable filth that we have in our world today. You say, we've always had everything we have now. Yes, but we never had as big as it is now. And it's growing more all the time. Today, one thing for sure out of this lesson, you need to make sure that you're saved. You need to make sure that your family's saved. There's a lot of family members, I'm telling you, I believe they're lost as they could be. I just really do believe they are. Who they are, I have no ideas. I don't know. And you don't know either. You call me light, but you see me not. You call me the way, but yet you walk me not. You call me wise, but you follow me not. You call me fair, but you love me not. You call me rich, but you ask me not. You call me God, you fear me not. If I condemn you, don't blame me not. Just don't blame me. You see, don't let a few hypocrites keep you from heaven. Whoever tells you that, they're hypocrites, you tell them right out. They're always going to be hypocrites. But I wouldn't want to go to hell with them. Would you? I wouldn't want to go to hell with them. I'm going to tell you something else. If you know a tear, and if you are a tear, only Jesus Christ can make that supernatural change from a tear to a wheat. Man can't make it. Man can't make it. He always leaves this room that he moves in with a supernatural. He says the gospel have not failed. It cannot fail. Yes, there'll be hypocrites. Yes, there'll be some people that hears the word of God, even Jesus' teaching. It won't hear the word of God, won't heed the word of God, but they some will. Thank you this night as I look out among you. I just thank you all that there's one that's here that heard the word and you had these hearts would allow the word of God to get out in. We got a great group of people at Pleasant Hill, and I thank you for every one of y'all. I really do, from the bottom of my heart. I just wish more people could understand. Now, our business is to help all we can, everything that we do, to help other people to understand what you already know tonight, to help someone else battle that battle of the evil that's in this world before it's too late. We come with a song or invitation. Jesus said there's all these parables, and I want you to know, I hope the Lord lets me preach the rest of them in this chapter 13 of Matthew, to let us understand what's really going on in this world today, what's really happening all around us. Seem like things are changing so bad and look like it's getting worse, and it is, but I'm going to tell you, as my Christian material, it's getting better.